Welcome back to another episode of Professionals Podcasting. In this episode, attorney Andrew Needle discusses the continued effects of COVID-19 on the practice of law.
Well, right now, I would say that we're in a barely post-COVID environment. We've continued to actively practice, through COVID. The proliferation of various video teleconferencing programs, whether they're Zoom, which seems to be the most popular one, or Microsoft Teams or WebEx, they've all caused a paradigm shift in the way that, that law has been practiced for the last 2 years. And there are going to be, no doubt, residual effects from our much more evolved video teleconferencing skills. And many people have discovered that it's obviously a huge time savings because we've eliminated travel. It eliminates a great deal of wear and tear on the body and the stress of traveling in this current environment, which is, airline flights are just so difficult between delays and cancellations and restrictions and the continuing need to fly for hours while you have a mask on it wears on you psychologically and physically. And so these are things that are still there, but there'll be some benefits, as I said, to getting used to conducting more and more business in a virtual environment over the internet. But the biggest effect, I think, that we're starting to see now and the most difficult transition is going back to live trials. For the 2 years that the country was essentially locked down, jury trials were at least in Florida, very few and far between, or I should say South Florida. There were areas in Central Florida and North Florida where jury trials seemed to have continued in various ways. It could just be part of the psyche of Florida, making believe like COVID doesn't exist. But in South Florida and the major metropolitan areas of Orlando and Tampa, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, it was a very, very big concern because of the heavy concentration of COVID infections. So trials really didn't occur. They experimented some with virtual trials. They experimented a little bit with trials with juries being socially distanced, spread out around the courtroom. And some of that is continuing. But we're now being put back in the courtroom with live jury trials. And there are accommodations that have to be made. So we're, slowly coming out of the COVID coma, as I call it. And we're going back into the courtroom with live trials. But it doesn't mean that they're trials that were conducted or are being conducted exactly the same way as they were before. We face real hurdles when we're going through jury selection. And it begins with the process of sending out juror summonses. There was a webinar that I participated in about a month ago where someone from the clerk's office in Miami-Dade County had estimated that on a weekly basis, they may send out 3,000 jury summonses. Only 1,000 people may respond. And of the 1,000 people that show up, probably 60 or 70% of them are called out immediately because of various issues related to COVID. Now, that's, I'm sure, gotten better over the course of the last month because a lot of masking requirements have been dropped, at least for the time being. And a lot of the other social distancing requirements have been loosened. But that in and of itself creates issues because there's still a lot of people who are very concerned about COVID transmission, people who have immunocompromised bodies and who are who may have people at home who are immunocompromised and can't afford to be infected and bring the infection home. So it's still there. Okay, we're living with it, but it's still very much there. So the first hurdle is producing a jury pool large enough to accommodate all of the courtrooms that need to be filled with jurors. And it can often be the case where they just run out of jurors. And so you can't conduct your jury trial because there are no jurors available to sit. That's one issue that's being confronted now in this barely post-COVID environment. The other is when you're conducting your jury selection, are there people on the jury who want to wear a mask still because they're concerned about being in close proximity in a closed environment with strangers that they know nothing about who may or may not truly be vaccinated and who may be incubating the virus? They don't know. None of us know. So if some wear a mask and some don't, does that hinder your ability to read the expressions of a juror, or does it create some sort of animosity among the potential people in the jury box because someone feels that we shouldn't be wearing a mask, and they may have felt that we shouldn't be wearing a mask at all. I mean, we have a governor and a surgeon general in the state of Florida that are actively discouraging people from wearing masks. So does that create interpersonal issues just among the people who you're hoping will come together as a jury? The next issue is, as a lawyer, are jurors going to be offended if you wear a mask while you're asking them questions? Or will they be offended if you don't wear a mask? You don't know. You can ask, but probably some people will be offended, some people won't. But you still have to consider them as potential jurors and worry about how they're going to relate to you as the attorney if you're taking precautions that they may feel are silly, okay? Or as our governor has famously said, it's COVID theater. It alters the dynamic of the process, and that's something that we're still working our way through. What about a witness? If a witness is uncomfortable testifying without a mask, then how's the jury going to feel about that witness? Are they going to be able to understand them as well if they can't actually see the facial expressions fully and the lips moving? You don't know. I mean, you can ask in voir dire, will you be offended if there are witnesses that that wear a mask on the stand? And they may say, no, I don't think so. But will it affect the communication that's going on? We're learning about that because we are very much in a divided society where some people feel strongly both ways. What about the issue of handling evidence? Okay. Is everyone comfortable passing evidence down through a jury box? If you hand them a document to be reviewed by several jurors and everyone's hands touch it and they breathe on it and all that good stuff, is someone going to be uncomfortable in doing that? For a while, when we were trying to conduct jury trials early on, there was a requirement that all exhibits be produced individually for each juror. So you have to have a set. In Florida, you have six jurors, and they have seven or eight, including alternates. So you might have to reproduce seven or eight sets of exhibits so that the jurors don't have to hand them down the row and examine them personally that way. Now, some of those things you can work around, with technology, by by broadcasting images on a screen. But, you know, again, that raises the cost of litigation, and small cases really can't handle those additional costs of having, IT people in the courtroom full time working the equipment. You also have the issue of, jury boxes are essentially designed for six people. Some of the older ones may have had 12 people. In Florida, I think it varies, but usually you have 12 in the jury box in criminal. Civil, you may only have six in some of the newer courtrooms, since civil trials only require six jurors. So you may have six, you may have eight, you may have 10. How far can you social distance these people? Are they comfortable, being on top of one another? You don't know. You can't crawl inside their heads and see how they're going to feel. And the bonding that goes on during the jury process, and jurors do really come together as a single mind remarkably, is that going to be affected adversely by people's concerns about being infected with the virus? Other practical issues are elevators. Elevators at the courtroom, at the courthouse, are very, very crowded. If you can't transport jurors in a crowded elevator because of concerns about COVID transmission, it's going to lengthen the amount of time that it takes to move people from floor to floor, going from, for instance, the jury assembly room up to the courtroom. And then later, as the jurors may go out for lunch or come in at the beginning of the day, how long will it take them to get to the necessary floor if they don't want to get onto an elevator that's overcrowded, or they're uncomfortable getting onto an elevator with people who are unmasked? And nowadays, people are going to be unmasked on those elevators. And so you may have people who are very uncomfortable with that. Again, those are impediments to being able to smoothly conduct jury trials in the current environment. Now, let's assume for the moment that you've selected your jury and you've got your people in panel. And all of a sudden, you find out in the morning that a juror has called in and said, "Hey, I've tested positive for COVID." Well, how's that going to affect your current jury trial? If you lose enough jurors that way, then you're going to get a mistrial. And if you have someone who has not just been exposed to COVID, but who actually has COVID, and they in turn have exposed the other people sitting on that panel for who knows how many days, do you then have to declare a mistrial because you've got to send those people home to isolate or quarantine while they're going through their incubation period? And even if you reduce the quarantine or isolation period to 5 days, you still interrupted your trial for that amount of time. You have witnesses who may suddenly become unavailable because the schedule is now off. Frankly, especially in complex personal injury cases, you invest a lot of money getting the case ready for trial. And if a mistrial is declared because you've lost jurors due to COVID, that's an enormous additional expense that's got to be incurred by the parties. But you have no control over it. It can happen at any time and on various levels, whether it's, actual exposure to someone with COVID or someone has been exposed to COVID and you don't know if they're incubating and are they in turn communicating that to other jurors? What level of anxiety is that now going to produce? Will there now be jurors who don't show up in the morning because they're concerned that they've been exposed to COVID by some other jury member? These are the real concerns that we're facing in trying to go back to the courtroom in this barely post-COVID environment. All right, let's go to the next stage. Okay, you made it through your trial. You've done your final arguments. The jury's now got to deliberate. Where is the jury going to deliberate? Jury rooms are small. People are on top of one another. If there is a COVID virus, it is highly likely that it's going to be an environment where it can easily be transmitted. And so what then? Do you stick all your jurors in the actual courtroom and just lock the courtroom to everybody else and let the jurors sit there and deliberate within the courtroom, yell across the courtroom to one another during deliberations because they want to stay far apart? You don't know. I mean, it's not normal. Okay. And I hesitate to use the term new normal because I don't think it can be normal to have people separated that way. It's an artificial environment, but it may be the only environment that we have that produces the ability to have jury trials and have a functioning justice system. And so we just have to feel our way through it. And it's going to work out for some people. It's not going to work out for others. And you just don't know whether you're going to be one of the lucky ones that's going to make it through a jury trial with no issues, or whether you'll be one that will have constant interruptions because of concerns over COVID or a mistrial in the worst case scenario. Other practical considerations, what happens during sidebars? In a sidebar, the lawyers come up, everybody huddles, cheek to jowl. And we talk, softly, but we're, without spitting at one another, but we're still breathing on one another. Is there a judge who's not going to want to allow sidebars because they doesn't want the lawyers getting that close to them, or do the lawyers themselves not want to get that close to one another under those circumstances? I've heard stories of judges who have prohibited sidebars. Well, that's a very real concern. If you prohibit a sidebar, how do you communicate with the court during the course of the trial? You can't interrupt the trial every time you need to go sidebar and take the jury out and spread the lawyers out. It's impractical. So how do you deal with sidebars? Do you have to whip out a mask and put on a mask so that you're less likely to infect another lawyer? It's kind of stilted, Is the juror going to, are the jurors going to think, oh, that's silly? And then in some way you lose face with the jury. Or in an even worst case scenario, some lawyers who would go sidebar and want to wear a mask for their own protection, and other lawyers who may not. And the jurors are then going to be looking at who's wearing a mask and who's not wearing a mask. Will that affect their perception of the attorney? Ultimately, it's the client that's adversely affected by these types of issues because we're there representing the client's interests in the courtroom and trying to do our best to get them the best possible result that we can. They're the ones who stand to lose, and the civil justice system as a whole stands to lose from it. You also have issues of, will you be able to get experts to come to trial, whether they're medical experts or engineering experts that you may have to put on a plane and bring them into your courtroom? Well, one of the good things that's happened is people have gotten much more comfortable with video teleconferencing as a way to take witness testimony. We don't know if that's going to continue in this post-COVID environment, or barely post-COVID environment. There are many pluses associated with being able to take a witness's testimony via video teleconferencing in the courtroom. It saves a lot of money for the litigants, and it also saves a lot of time, and it enables you to schedule your witnesses much more efficiently. On the negative side, you don't always see the body language or appreciate the body language of the witness, and that makes it harder for a jury to judge those things. And at the moment, it's entirely discretionary with the court and the lawyers, if they can agree, whether there's going to be a video conference testimony allowed or not. It's not a right to have your witness testify by video teleconference. So you don't know what happens if you have a witness that refuses to travel. Well, I guess we can go old school and we can videotape them and then play the videotape to the jury. But again, that's also still not as effective as having a live witness. You know, in a perfect world, you'd have a witness sitting there in the jury stand actually talking to the jury. The next best thing is your video teleconference. And as I said, there are many, many advantages to it, but we don't know if those are going to be able to continue or not. And the worst case scenario is the witness just refuses to come and testify. A court in Florida has no jurisdiction over a witness who lives in California. It's not like they can send the sheriff out to just put him in the back of the police car and drive him to the courthouse because they've been subpoenaed. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, these are all practical issues. Judges will say, well, statistically, you know, 85, 90% of all your cases are going to settle anyway. So what's the big deal? Well, it's a big deal to that 10 or 15% of people who can't get their case settled and want to have their day in court because their rights are being affected. But again, that's, you know, another casualty of the pandemic, probably far less important than losing someone or having long COVID as a result of the infection, but still it has an impact because our jury system is incredibly important. Our system of justice, of course, is the bedrock of American society. We are a country of laws, not men. And without the ability of having a trial to interpret and determine the outcome of the application of those laws, we all suffer from it. But like many things, we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm optimistic that things will go back to normal at some point, but we just don't really know when.